Who has been reading the plan, the reading plan that we have? You're a bit behind. We have these reading plans that we want to encourage as many of us as possible to read. It's not that we don't believe that you can read the Bible on your own, and we want to give just a little bit of help for those who need some help. But also, we just know that when we read something together, something in our daily Bible reading together, we can then ensure that when we are together, you can talk about the revelation that God's given to you. And, you know, I'm longing to hear what God's saying to you as well, because we're, in a sense, a team here, and we're a family, and I want to know what God's saying to you. And if we're sort of reading similar things together, we're going through the scripture. At the moment, we're going on through 1 Peter and 2 Peter. It's actually 2 Peter chapter 1 today. And then we're going into Colossians in 2 days' time, and then we're finishing off in Titus by the end of the month, and then we'll have another one for next month. But, you know, I want to get to a point where we, when we're together, that, you know, the scripture says somebody has a psalm, somebody has a hymn, somebody has a revelation, somebody has something prophetic. And I want to get to a point where it's like we're all biting off each other and we're all racing to try and say, actually, I've got something from the Lord. I've got something that God spoke to me about this week. And that's why I loved what Nathan did today, because what God gave him through that particular triumphal faith confession, it was enabled us all to enter in to those victory words, those faith words that we could proclaim together in that situation. And it's just things like that that I want us to get to a place, a situation where all of us, every single one of us, could be coming and tapping us on our shoulders saying, I've got something from God. It's not sometimes, you know, we at times give a moment during the service, anybody who has a word of God, but we want to get to a point where we have you tapping on our shoulders saying, I've got something. I have something that God's spoken to me about today or this week. And I just get excited when the word of God becomes revelation to us. If you could just quickly turn to 1 Corinthians. This is not my message, really. But it's just a scripture that God continues to take me back to. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is where I need to get my glasses out. There we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For who makes you different from anyone else? And then this scripture just comes back again and again and again to me. What do you have, Jonathan, that you did not receive? And God just then takes me through all areas of my life. And he just says, Jonathan, I gave you that. I gave you life. I've given you your job. I've given you the family. I've given you that role. I've given you that function. I've given you that gift. I've given you that ability. Because everything in my life, and I'm assuming yours, unless you're perfect. Any takers of perfection yet? But one of the things, you know, this scripture, for me, just reminds me of the grace of God again and again and again that I personally need. But it's like everything I have, he's given to me. Everything. There is nothing that he hasn't given. My life, my health, my wife, my children. My family, my home, everything God's given to me. And then there was just something else that God just started to speak to me about, and we'll get to 1 Peter in a minute, or 2 Peter chapter 1 in a minute. But God started to talk to me about this scripture in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7, and again he just sort of said, look, son. And he talks to me sometimes like that. He talks about son. He sometimes calls me Jonathan. And the father just sort of said, you know, I've given you everything, son. There's nothing that I've not given to you. Everything, you know, because of my salvation, my grace, my favor, it's all because I've wanted to give to you as one of my children. And I just believe God's saying to all of us that actually I want to give to every single one of you. He already has given to you so many things. And sometimes I think we can just be, that God just wants us to be reminded of what he has already done. He's given you salvation.
Amen.
He took away your sin and put his life in you.
Amen.
That's the greatest act of grace and mercy. Things that we've not deserved, he's given to us.
Amen.
We haven't deserved salvation, but he's given it to us. Why? Because he's called you his child. And one of the things that God said to me this morning was just like, actually, it's not your gifts. It's not your abilities. It's you. I love you. I've given my life for you. Not what you bring into a church, an environment, into your family. I've come for you as a person. And I could go around and name every single person here. I probably would forget one or two names. But God just wants you to know tonight how important you are to him. Not what you bring into an environment like this, but you are important to him. As a person, you are important. Let's just quickly turn to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Let's just stay there for a moment. Place your name in there. Jonathan, a servant. And again, the word apostle, you can put whatever. You're a teacher, lecturer, a doctor, a nurse, a motorbike rider. Well, that sounds nice, doesn't it? But in a sense, you have to understand how God sees you sometimes. And I believe God sometimes wants to address you as an individual. And I think that's important, that sometimes we're not just one of many, that God calls you by name. Simon Peter obviously was a disciple. He was one of those 12 disciples that Jesus called. But in this epistle, it's a personal thing. And I believe God wants to make this very personal tonight, because he's called you. He's called you his servant. He's called you his son, his daughter. And it's not what your talent is, it's you. It's all about you. That's who he died for. He didn't die for your gifts and abilities. He died for you. Simon Peter, put your name in. Jonathan, a servant and a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's who I am. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. So you can put that yourself in that. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. I thank God that I've received a faith that is as precious as Peter's, Paul's, Timothy's, Titus, Andrew, John, James. We've received the same gift of grace in our life as they did. I think that's amazing. And sometimes I think God just wants to remind us of what he has done for you. Not for us, but for you. And it says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's my prayer over each one of you. Not just Kingdom Faith now, I'm talking about you as an individual. Whether you come, you know, from Norwich, or whether you're part of St. Mildred's Church, wherever you're from, this is not about that. This is about you. And God, I believe, is saying that grace, that's when we don't deserve anything, he still gives to us. And peace, be yours in abundance. The gift of peace is an amazing gift that God wants to give us. I think sometimes when we hear this peace, shalom, you know, and when you go to Israel, you, oh, shalom, 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 shalom. And it can then get lost. Whereas when you really understand what God wants to give you is peace in abundance. Why does he want to give you peace in abundance? Because he wants you and me to be in a relationship with him that we know that there is nothing that we know of that is between me and him. And therefore, we are completely in his hands and trust in him absolutely, completely, 100% secure in our relationship with him. Amen. If sometimes we know that there is something that we're doing or there's an attitude in our hearts, there's a bit of a negative towards somebody, a bit of offense in our hearts, sometimes that disturbs us. And that's not peace. God wants to remove that tension, that any aggression towards anybody else, any unforgiveness towards anybody else, or an attitude or something that we like to do that we know God is not completely happy with. We sometimes then, therefore, are not peaceful when we're doing those things. Whereas God wants us to be abundant peace be yours in Christ Jesus. Abundant peace. He doesn't want to give you a little tiny bit of peace. He wants you to be in relationship with him in such a way that you are so secure in your own personal relationship with the Father that you are full of that abundant peace. There's a contentment there. You're content with your relationship with God. You're content when you're reading the word. You're content when you're praying. You're content when you're walking around. You're content when you're working. Why? Because you have this abundant peace. Because you know that you are exactly where God wants you to be at that moment in time. So you're peaceful. Many of you know that, you know, three, four days before we were meant to be exchanging on our house, the buyers for our house pulled out. And we had to make sure, okay, God, we trust you. And there might have been a moment of, oh, panic. But we very, very quickly got to a point where we said, okay, God, you're in charge here. You called us up to London. And so therefore, you know the timing that maybe that we can't continue perceive at the moment, but we wanted to come and put our situation back in God's hands because we didn't want to lose our peace in that particular situation. And it can be anything, and you could be going into all sorts of situations and circumstances, all sorts of things could be breaking loose in your lives. And that's why what Nathan was praying and proclaiming today was so, so powerful and so, so good. But you know, when we start to understand where God wants that abundant peace in our lives and in our situations, then we understand there's such a security. And when we confess those things, yes, we have an enemy out there who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But God wants us to be so secure in Him that even when we are having to push through something or battling through something, inwardly there is a peace there, knowing that God is in control. God knows what He's doing. So funny, isn't it, that, you know, when something happens around us, it's like we try to solve it so often. And God just sort of saying, trust me. Allow my abundant peace to be upon you in that situation. And I believe because of that abundant peace, He will just enable you to go through those situations that are that we as individuals face. But grace and peace be yours, not a little bit, in abundance. Amen. I like that.
Amen.
In abundance. If I keep my glasses on, I can't see you like that. I can read it and I can see the words, but as soon as I look up, I can't see you. So that's why I'm taking them on off. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This doesn't come automatically. This comes through our knowledge of Jesus Christ. When we became Christians, when we accepted Jesus Christ into our lives, God was then wanting to begin a relationship with each one of us. And therefore, one of the things that He wants us to do is to get to know Him more and more and more, so that when we do face some of these moments in time where things are in turmoil around us, then we have a greater understanding and a greater knowledge of who Jesus is. And therefore, we have a greater confidence that He's going to show us the way through this particular situation and circumstance. So we need to have a knowledge of the Lord. And that's one of the reasons why, again, it's not that you have to read that. This is not a three-line wit. This is just trying to give you a tool, because we want you to gain in knowledge of who your Father is. And we know that the way that we do that is in the Word of God, by reading the Word on a regular basis, I mean daily, and allowing Him then to come and speak to us, because He wants us to understand that knowledge. And as we go on, it talks about that. It says in verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Sometimes when I'm reading scripture, it's sometimes good just to put your name in there. For instance, His divine power has given you, Jonathan, everything you need for a godly life through your knowledge of Him who called you, Jonathan, by His own glory and goodness. It's powerful when you put your name in there, isn't it? Just think it through yourself. Put your name in that. His divine power has given your name everything you need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given you, Jonathan, His very great and precious promises, so that through them, you, Jonathan, may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I think these verses are amazing, because God wants us to participate with him. This is God we're talking about. This is the amazing God who created mankind. It's the God who brought everything into being. But he's talking to you and to me about joining with him in his divine nature so that we can then be the person that God wants us to be. Full of peace, understanding God's grace, understanding because we have been called and chosen by him, because we've given him our lives, therefore I have nothing that he's not given to me. It's amazing. For this very reason, verse 5, Jonathan, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. God's saying that because you are all, and I'm looking around, I believe we're all saved in this room tonight. I can't wait until we see people coming in who aren't born again believers in Jesus Christ. But that will come. But when we understand that we had faith at the beginning when we accepted the reality of who Jesus was, we got to that point in our lives where we said, Jesus, I need you. And that exchange took place. And if I went round the room, some of you would know exactly the day, the hour, the time, the venue, the person who was talking. Some of you would be able to tell us those things. Other people may have a general idea it was around about that time. It doesn't matter if you know or you don't know the day and time. That's not what I'm talking about. Sometime faith was activated in you saying, I believe. And when you said, I believe, that faith was activated. But so therefore, all of us have faith. Okay, that's what I'm trying to get to. Every single one of us has faith. And so therefore, we're part of this, okay? So what we have to add from faith is goodness. So we need to, from the faith, the beginning, and this is a journey, okay? And this is something that I believe that God wants us to work on every single day of our lives. So that faith, God wants to increase that faith. But faith that he has already given to us, whether it is a large amount of faith or a small amount of faith, all of us have faith. So therefore, every single one of us needs to add to that faith goodness. So we need to have that goodness as part of our makeup on our hearts. Then it says, "Good," and to goodness we have to add knowledge. How do we gain knowledge? How do we gain knowledge? By reading the word. Every single time I open this book, I'm expecting to gain knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm expecting something to happen, even if it's just one word. Sometimes it is just one word and you get stuck there. Abundant peace. And you could be then thinking about abundant peace for the next 20 minutes. But therefore, because you're understanding a little bit about more understanding, that's adding knowledge. That's gaining knowledge, which is fulfilling the scripture that I believe God is wanting us to really focus on tonight. But faith, goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. See, when we gain knowledge, when we understand the Father in a better way, then we want to have that self-control in our lives because we will want to be doing things that please him. Because that's what understanding who your Father is and he's God Almighty, then what we will want to be doing is doing things that will please him. Because we understand how great and mighty and how awesome he is. And therefore, we're not going to be wanting to do anything when we gain the knowledge and understand God, who God is, then we want to make sure that we are in a place of self-control where we're ensuring that we're not doing anything that's going to take us on the path that God has for each and every one of us as individuals. So again, God is saying, look, I want to see that faith increase. I want to see that knowledge of who I am increase. And because you understand who he is, you actually begin to understand who you are. You begin to understand how amazing you are as a believer of Jesus Christ, and how, because of the Holy Spirit, because you're partaking of his divine nature, that his divine nature lives in you. Therefore, because of that, you have the power, the authority to rule and reign in the situations that God's taking you as an individual. That's incredible. But sometimes we're not there yet, and therefore God's got to add to and bring increase into different areas of our lives so that we can begin to fulfill what God has for me as an individual and you as an individual. That's why I sometimes put my name here, because I want God to be speaking to me. So Jonathan, to ask for this reason, make every effort, Jonathan, to add to your faith goodness. And Jonathan, add to goodness knowledge. And Jonathan, my son, knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, I want you, son, to add perseverance. All of these things are words that I believe God is wanting us to have every single day. But we understand we're partaking in him, his divine nature. And so therefore the Holy Spirit lives in us, and his intention, his heart, is for all of us to live in the way that are adding these values into our life every single moment of the day. So self-control, perseverance. How many of us know that we need to be people who persevere? That we are not people who are going to shrink back when some opposition comes our way? When we don't hear the news that we want to hear? How do we respond when we hear news that we don't want to hear? Do we have a little moment of panic? And again, please, I'm not perfect, and there's moments where I will panic. But the quicker that I come back to where God wants me to receive his peace, understand I'm secure in who he is, I can then begin to persevere in what he's asking of me in whatever situation that looks like, wherever that may be. But I need to add, Jonathan needs to add to my self-control, he needs to add patience. To patience and to perseverance, he wants us to add godliness, to be more like Christ-like in everything that I do, everything you do. God wants me to be more like God-like. So my smile, my demeanor, the way I respond, the way I act to the things around me, God wants us to do those sort of things. So he wants, from perseverance, he wants godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. One of the things, one of the foundations that we've not quite got to yet is love as a thing that we want to have as a key value in our church, part of the foundation we want to have is not that mutual affection for one another and for whoever comes into our environments. We have a mutual affection for one another. And I believe that God wants to increase that and increase that and increase that as we begin to journey together more and more and more. But he wants that mutual affection to be part of who I am, because I'm personalizing this. And I believe that he wants you to have that mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. See, even in the word, it talks about a progression. It's a progression. It's not something suddenly, oh, I love you. You know, sometimes we can go into churches and we can have, oh, I love you in the Lord, I love you in the Lord. And you haven't have a clue who that person is. Never, ever met that person before. And therefore, you know, they're words that have been spoken, and you could be saying it in a genuine way as a brother and sister in Christ. But I'm talking about something greater and deeper that God is wanting for you and for me. And he wants a mutual infection to become love. And if we go into Romans chapter 12, which we're not going to today, there's some virtues of love, and 1 Corinthians 13 are virtues of love that we will come to at some point, because we want those to be our values. We want them to be part of who we are, and whoever comes into our environment, they're going to be picking up those values. That's what we want. But you see, God, it's got to start with me. And that's why I believe all of these things, that God wants to add for mutual affection. The progression from mutual affection is a genuine love. And I'm not talking about a sexual love. I'm talking about a genuine love for one another. Well, we are fulfilling the 1 Corinthians 13 scripture that love covers over the multitude of everything, that we forgive and all sorts of things. But I believe genuine love will, that's what I'm aiming for here. I really am. I'm aiming for that. I'm not saying that I'm going to get it right 100% of the time, because I don't. A number of you in this room know I don't, Amy, Helena. You know I don't get it right all the time. Just 99.9% of the time. They're laughing. They know it's not true. But I'm aiming for it. If you don't aim for something, you're never going to hit it. And that's why I think sometimes when we're reading 2 Peter, and this is us, if you're reading those daily scriptures, this is what's happening. And I'm just giving you the revelation that God's given to me today. For if you possess these qualities, okay, all that we've just described, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, I don't want to be ineffective and I don't want to be unproductive. I don't want to live on this earth 80, 90 years and be ineffective in any area of my life and unproductive. God's intention for you and for me as individuals is to be effective and is to be fruitful. But God knows, and that's why he's given us a book full of wisdom, where everything that he's written down is for our learning, for our knowledge. So for if you possess these qualities, faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, love, if I possess, Jonathan possesses these qualities, and I allow them to increase in my life, then it will prevent me from being unproductive. It will mean that I am productive and I am fruitful. That's what I want for me. And I want that for you. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So again, for me, scripture gives me a warning that it is possible for somebody to have their sins forgiven, but because they've not then grown in knowledge and understanding of who God is, they've not developed their relationship with Jesus Christ, there is potential that they become nearsighted and blind because they've stopped moving forward in their knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't want that for any one of us. I want every single one of us to be full of, we're not blind, we're full of understanding, we're full of knowledge, wisdom, fruitful, productive, that we are seeing what God's telling us to do and we're seeing what he's asking of us, so that we don't get to a point where we're coming into that group of people. I don't want that for any one of us. I want us to be in a group of people that are productive and effective, not a group of people who are nearsighted and potentially blind, because we're ignoring some of the things that God's asking for us as a people. Let's just finish this particular period of pit. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, that's you and me, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Wow, that's a promise, isn't it? Wow. For if you do these things, that's all that we've just been reading, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's an amazing promise, isn't it? That if we allow our hands to be in His, if we allow our lives to gain in the knowledge and understanding who Jesus is, that we see the increasing nature of what He wants for every one of us, then we won't be ineffective, but we will be full of fruit and productive in every way. And God says, because His divine nature is in us, because we're allowing these things to grow within us, because we placed our hands in His, He says that you're not going to stumble. I think that's an amazing promise. Now please, guys, I stumble at times. I stumble. But you see, when I start to read this scripture, God just reminds me of the amazing God that He is. That's why it's grace and peace. I don't deserve this. But He has chosen to place His divine nature in me. Remember, He called and chose you before the creation of the world to be part of His family. Those promises that God has spoken, they're incredible promises. But He's called you to be part of His divine nature. And because He were part of that divine nature, then all of those promises that we have just read are yours. So I want to encourage you that you go home over this weekend, that you begin, even in that first passage, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 11, that you personalize that. You put your name in the place where it says, we, you, all of those words. Put your name there. And just understand how amazing God is and what God is wanting to do in your life to bring increase. Could we please stand? Because I'd like to pray for you. I think, very briefly, I think you just need to talk to God yourself. I believe that you just need to say, Father, I thank you that I have been called and chosen to be partaking in your divine nature. Just use your own words. If English is not your first language, please feel free to speak whatever language that is easier for you. But it's important that you verbalize it, not just think about it, but you verbalize. And it doesn't mean that you have to shout at the top of your voice, but just you can talk quietly. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you called and chosen me to be your son, your daughter. Put that. I thank you that you've called me to be part of your divine nature. You've placed your spirit, your Holy Spirit within me. Lord, I haven't deserved anything, but you've given me your everything. And if, again, this is something genuine, you can start to say, Lord, I just want to thank you for the faith that you've given me.
Amen.
But Lord, I want to see that faith increase. That's your prayer. Just again, you can be speaking these things out very quietly. But Lord, I just want to add the faith. I thank you for the faith you've given me. But I just want to see that increase. Father, I thank you for the goodness, that heart that you've given me. And Father, I just ask you that you will add goodness, that you will bring that increase into my heart and life. Again, if that's what you want. But you express these desires in your own heart. Father, goodness, I want to add knowledge. Lord, I want to get to know you even more than I do this very day. Lord, I know that it's going to be eternity until, you know, that it's going to take all eternity to get to know all about you. But Lord, I just ask you that each day that knowledge will increase in my own heart, my own life. Adding knowledge, that self-control. Father, I just know I need that greater self-control. Sometimes that self-control means discipline. Sometimes, you know, that discipline, we just need to set something in place, that self-control where we promise God something. We have that self-control to keep that. We say, Lord, that we're going to give you half an hour, that the self-control, that determination. Father, yes, Lord, I know that there needs to be self-control added. I thank you for the self-control you've given me. But Lord, I ask you to increase that. Perseverance. Father, I just thank you that you'll just bring that perseverance again into my heart and life. Lord, that because I understand it to a greater understanding of who you are, then, Father, Lord, I'll be more determined. I will persevere. Oh, Lord, on the journey that you have for me. Perseverance, godliness. Father, I just want to be more like you. And Father, as you bring greater understanding of who you are into my own heart and life, Father, I just thank you that I will make choices that will be more like you every day of my life. And Father, Lord, because of your great love for me, then there will be a beginning of mutual affection for one another. Father, Lord, I just ask you that you'll work that in my own heart and life. And that mutual affection will turn into love that is genuine for you. And that outworking will be such a genuine love, a real love for one another, that is expressed not just only in words, but in actions and deeds. Father, I just ask you that you will work all of these things into my own heart and life. Father, you've heard the words that every one of us has prayed tonight. Lord, that you've heard the expression of our hearts and our desires. And Lord, I just thank you that you will ensure that what we have prayed from our hearts, that you will ensure that we will be people, Father, who begin to grow in all of these things so that every one of us will be effective and fruitful. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Please take a seat. You know, these words that are coming week in, week out, they're like building blocks in our lives as we put them into practice. And before you know it, you're a strong tower for others to lean into. And that's what God intends, isn't it? So put the word into action this week. I just encourage every one of you to take a hold of that word and let it work in your life. Amen. Just turn to someone and say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the word this week. Amen.